Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Dear God, here, but not now, right? We have this, it's right now, it's going on. There's things that are here, but it's not yet. I'm sorry, I said not now, not yet. Here, but not yet. We got some things that are going on, but we're waiting on something else to arrive. Amen? We know that this is not the pinnacle of our Christian experience. We're saved, and I say this all the time, and I pray this over people. God, we're so thankful for what you've done, but we're not satisfied. Though we're thankful, we know that there's so much more. So it's the not yet concept. So this is what he's talking about. He said, though he be Lord of all, the problem is he's still a child. And if you study that word, you'll find out that means minor, underage, not to the place of maturity yet. But is under tutors and governors until. I know what I'm going to preach, so I could shout right there. Until the time appointed of the Father. There comes a point when the not yet becomes the right now. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You can be seated. That's a lot going on there. This story has been told time and time again, different versions of the story. I imagine that something kind of happened along the lines, but it's been changed so many times. But I chose this version to tell you just because this is the one I'm going to tell you. The huge printing presses of a major Chicago newspaper begin to malfunction. On the Saturday before Christmas, putting all the revenue for advertising that was to appear in the Sunday paper in jeopardy. None of the technicians could track down the problem. For hours, internally, they tried to figure out what the problem was and correct it. Finally, a frantic call was made to a retired printer who had worked with these presses for over 40 years. They said, please come and look at our presses and see what you can do. When he arrived, he walked around for a few minutes surveying the presses. Then he approached one of the control panels and opened it. He removed a dime from his pocket, turned a screw 1/4 of a turn, and said, the presses will now work correctly. After being profusely thanked, he was told to submit his bill for the work. He submitted the bill, $10,000. Not wanting to pay such a huge amount for so little work, they asked if he would please itemize his charges in the hope that he would reduce the amount once he had to identify what each service was. The revised bill arrived, $1 for turning the screw, $9,999 for knowing which screw to turn. Man, have you ever been in that situation where things seem to be falling apart and you just wish you knew what part to turn to make it work again? Each one of us in our lives, we face things and struggles and issues, and we try to frantically work internally to fix our problems. I look around this room at most of the men in this room, and I want to ask you a question. How many of you guys like to ask somebody to help you? Raise your hand. Not one of you? No, you would rather try to work on it yourself, and men are trial and error kind of people, aren't we? We don't have to know exactly how it works, and if we really don't know, we say, well, there's a YouTube video. And here's what we do with YouTube. We try to find the spot. It's like, man, this thing's 13 minutes. I just want to get to the spot where you take this little cover off. And we'll spend 5 minutes trying to find instead of what, because we don't want to ask for help. And as human nature is, I can fix this. I can fix this. But I come to preach today about a specialist that knows what needs to be turned in your life to make it right, to make it work again. And our pastor years ago used to preach. He went to a conference and he said the greatest revelation that he got in that conference didn't come from the preaching or the teaching. It came from a T-shirt from a kid that was sitting a few rows in front of him. And he said it was such a profound revelation that that's what he took home with him, was that guy's T-shirt. And he said, two things are for certain. One, there is a God. Two, you're not him. He said, what a revelation. There's a God and I'm not him. Let me say it like this. God has never asked you to fix it all yourself. But I'm telling you, when you call him, he can come in through the Spirit and redo everything that needs to be redone because he's the specialist of life. They called this man because he had been in the printing business for 40 years. I'm here to tell you, we have a high priest that has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's been through what you've been through. Let me say it like this and get kind of preachy. Can't nobody do you like Jesus can. Can't nobody heal you like Jesus can. Can't nobody touch you like Jesus can, and that's priceless. Amen. Can you say amen? He tells us that in Galatians 4, the heir is no, as long as he is a child, different, nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But there comes a point, and in Roman society, they had a custom, the coming of age is what they called it, and they had a name for it, and they would bring these young men out or young ladies out, and they, at that point, when the father put them in the place of the age, it was up to the father to decide. They had this ceremony, and they would come forth, and they said usually a boy would bring a ball and a girl would bring a doll. And what they were doing was they were laying down some things, saying, I'm putting away childish things. It's time for me to become an adult. Let me say it. Wednesday night people, listen. And Sunday people, hold on. Here's how this works. God is calling us to put some things down so that we can be useful for the kingdom of God. It comes when you come of age. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I believe the church is about to put some things down so that they can hold on to the armor of God and do what he has called us to do. Some of these things that we hold on to right now are distracting us from the true goal that God called his bride to do. But I believe there's a people ready to present it and say, I want to be an heir. I know I'm Lord of all, and it's time for me to take what you got for me. I don't want to live below my means. I don't want to stand in heaven and look at him and he said, there was so much more, but you were so distracted. Amen. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy. I'll never forget, I was on a job one day and a guy came over and he said, hey man, can I weld? And I said, no, you can't weld. He said, come on man, let me weld that. And I said, no dude. I said, I'm welding it. I'm welding it. No, let me do it, man. I'm bored. And I said, no, I know you. I said, if I let you start welding 15 minutes from now, you'll be out in the pit chasing butterflies. I said, you get distracted so quick. I'm just going to stay here and get it done. I promise, bubby. I promise if you let me weld it. Okay, here you go. And I got up and I watched him. It wasn't 15 minutes. I looked out and he's done, stopped welding. Everything's laying there. Welder's still running. He's out there on the phone. So easy to get distracted. It's so, let me tell you this. There's very few things in this life. Let me rephrase that. There's nothing in this life worth distracting you from your relationship with Jesus. That he is an heir as long as he is a child differeth nothing from a servant, though he's Lord of all. Can we go on down? Here, let's read a little farther. Let's go down to verse 21. I wanted to talk about this a little bit Wednesday night, but I couldn't get it because it was just too long. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? You see that? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Now I want you to watch this. They both had the same father. But one was bound and one was free. Let me say it like this. Abraham is noted as the father of faith. The difference is, even though they were both born of Abraham, one was bound and one was free. Now watch verse 24. If you didn't know what the Old Testament was about, you're going to learn something. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which genereth the bondage, which is Agar. One of these, there's two covenants going on here through Ishmael and Isaac. Amen? He says, the one gendereth to bondage, even though he was born of the father of faith. Somebody give me a broom. Not a push broom, one of those other brooms. I don't know what the regular broom's called, just a regular broom. Do we have brooms? Oh, it's like one of them old-fashioned ones. Dave said somebody's car. I didn't say it. Dave did. I've never found one of these that really fit my hand quite right. When I looked this up, I about had a fit today. Because, man, I had my sermon ready, and then I found something really good this morning. I looked up the word flesh in this scripture. And when I looked up the word flesh, it came from the root word, the Greek root word that means to sweep or sweeping. I used to do flooring for a living. Crawled around in people's floors. And we say, sweep the floor. Sweep the floor. And maybe you've experienced this, but I don't care how much you sweep a floor. You can go back. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And you can sweep it again. And it looks good, and you can go back and sweep it again. And sweep it again. You never get it clean enough. Do you know what I'm saying? And then finally, you stop at a point and you say, well, that's good enough. That'll be good enough. But you know in your heart, especially as a flooring person, you know there's still some dust down there. Amen? So you can keep, this is the work of the flesh. You try within your own effort to clean it up. But, and you know what's crazy? You take a broad stroke. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then when that don't get it, you turn the, anybody ever been there? You try to narrow it down to where you can hit that one spot real good. You try to get more honed in on it. You're like, well, the broad stroke ain't working, so. And then what's awesome, I just noticed that the tool that I am using is falling apart while I'm trying to use it and creating more of a problem. Oh, you got to hear this. You're trying to clean it all up. You're trying to get it all right within your own effort. And he said, all that brings, all that genders is bondage. Especially if you really want to do it right. That's the problem. We want to do it right. Right? Dustin's not here today, so I'll talk about him. He'll listen to it. He'll listen to it. He was at Shane's house the other day, and he said, hey, I told Shane he messed up getting you up here trying to do this work. He said, because Damon's a perfectionist, and this can get done a lot quicker than having him up here. And you can ask Shane. We swept the floors and we vacuumed the floors and then we got a mop and we mopped the floors. See, we need some water if we're really going to get it clean. I don't know how to title this. The blood of Jesus is a pressure washer? I don't know how to say this. I don't know what my sermon title can be, but I know this. You can sweep and you can try within yourself to make it all work out, but you need to call the specialist, because when he comes in, he's got something with him that you do not possess within yourself to get the job done. I'm here to tell you, I serve a God that'll come in and wash it all away. He don't sweep it. He don't push it. He washes it away. I've been washed in the water. I've been washed in the blood. I don't know about you, but he cleaned me up when I couldn't clean up myself, and I'm not tired anymore. I've had them helpers sweep it again. You ever been there, Aaron? Aaron worked with me. Sweep it again. We're never going to get it clean. You know what's crazy? Is you think if you sweep harder, it helps, but it doesn't. You know what it does? It stirs it up even more. This is good teaching. You think if I try harder, then I'll be better. If I just try harder, and in your trying harder, it frustrates you that much more, because you're just stirring up the stuff that you're trying to get rid of. That's the work of the flesh. That's what your flesh accomplishes. It's never ending. Amen? And God forbid that you get it okay and somebody else walks through the building who have been outside. I have seen objects thrown at people. I'm not joking. I've seen flooring installers get mad at people walking through. And Mark Mullins threw a level at a guy at the K&W cafeteria. We're doing the tile at the K&W. He got it all swept up and somebody comes walking through there. Get out of the floor! Because you think, okay, finally it's good enough. I'm telling you right now, it'll never be good enough. I don't care how hard you sweep, how hard you try, you're never going to get it clean enough. But all thanks be to God who brought forth his own son and made in the likeness of sinful flesh so that he could come to where I was. And when he walks in, it all becomes clean, right as the driven snow. You can't beat it. That's not my sermon. That happened this morning. Yeah, that was so Sunday sermon, though. That was Sunday all the way. Now, we brethren, we got to understand, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. But he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh. 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 But he of the free woman was by promise. By promise. Which things are an allegory, for these things are two covenants. The one, Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is, which is the mother of us all. Mothers. One mother is flesh. One mother is promise. Both joined to faith. Both joined to faith. Both joined to the same thing, producing different results. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if your faith, if you join your flesh or your works that you do and your effort, it's self-effort. If you join your self-effort to faith, you have faith in something that produces bondage. But if you join by promise to faith, then you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. What have you joined to faith? Everybody believes in something. Look at the person beside you and say, everybody believes in something. I heard city people say, everybody. What'd you say? You said everybody, didn't you? She said, I'm not saying everybody. It's incorrect. Everybody has faith in something. What are you joining your faith to? Because here's the problem. There's a growing process in this. And as long as we remain immature, we will never realize the promise that he has designed for our life to fulfill. There is a coming of age where we grow into this thing. And then when we grow up, we have our coming out party. And we bring things and we lay them down and we say, here, it's time to join to promise. I'm no longer a child, but now I am an heir. So we've got to get rid of some things. Not because they're entirely sinful, but because they're holding us back from where he designed us to walk. You know what's crazy? When I say you need to get rid of some things in your life, most of us know what they are. Because we have conversations with ourselves. I need to get rid of that. I need to quit that. I need to stop doing that. You've already had this conversation with yourself. I don't need to call you out. You know what it is. But until we get to that place where we belong in heirship, we keep holding on to those things. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I want to talk to somebody that says, enough is enough. It's time to walk in what God has ordained me to walk in. Watch this, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so is it now. See, here's what happened. God told Abraham he's going to bring a nation through him. To the people that don't know, let me give you a background. He said, I'm going to bring a nation through you. The problem was Abraham was old. That's Southern County talk for old, owed. We had a guy we worked with one time, and he kept talking about his older brother. He said, my older brother. I said, does your brother stink? He said, no, he don't have an older. Old. He was old. So there's a problem. Sarah can't have any kids. Pastor White preached the sermon so well. I'll never forget, I guess, as long as I live. Father of many and ain't got any. Run around, who you? I'm the father of a nation. How many kids you got? None. None. So Sarah says, I got an idea. Why don't you have a kid with Hagar? Abraham's like, okay. So he goes and has a kid with Hagar, and they name him Ishmael. Then, if I got it added up right, this is like 14 years later. And everything's okay. Everything's going pretty smooth, I guess, okay, for what could be expected. But then God opens up Sarah's womb, and she has Isaac. Well, there came a day that Ishmael began to pick on Isaac. Let me tell you something about moms. I done said something about dads, and all you men, you don't listen to nothing, and you got it all figured out. Let me tell you something about my moms. You can mess with them, but don't mess with their kids. Something happens to them. I've seen men get in fight at ball games, not because of the men, but because of their wives got it started. Preach, preacher. Oh, Sarah's fine until Ishmael starts picking on little Isaac. And then she says something to Abraham. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. So Abraham asked God. God says, yeah, listen to Sarah. How would you fellas like that? I'd say Abraham did what we always do when our wives is right. He got mad. Me and Tracy was having a conversation the other day. Something was going on. I said, no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And then it was the way she said it worked was the way it worked. And I looked at her and she went, how do you do it? You do it every time. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. Sarah's right. She says, cast out the bondwoman and her son. But this is an allegory. This is an allegory for us. This is an allegory of the covenants. What's going on with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar is for us to know. What Sarah told Abraham to do, you by faith have to do in your own life. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. What's the bondwoman? It's self-effort. This is so hard to get rid of. It's so hard to get rid of self-effort. It's so hard for me to realize, Jason, that if I don't try harder, God's still able. It seems counterproductive to me, doesn't it? He says, rest in me, take my yoke, it's light. And here I am over here like Green Beret Christian, I'm telling you, Navy SEAL. I'm going to be the baddest hombre Christian you've ever seen in your life. Can't no devil in hell take me down. I'm telling you, outside the grace of God, the impiest, wimpiest little devil could wear you out. Oh, yeah, it's true. Because you know what's crazy? We fight with crazy spirits. Church is split over what color the carpet is. You can't tell me there's not a spirit involved in that. Spirit of pride or, well, my family gives more money to this church. I think we should have a greater vote. We'll find somewhere else to go. Over carpet. There's something going on there. You can't tell me you shouldn't be able to beat a carpet demon. But we got bitterness, strife, envy. We got some spirits, man, and we're trying to overcome them. What's going to happen to you? You're going to get tired. He said, by the way, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Cast her out. Get rid of her. So we got to get rid of self-effort. How do you do that, preacher? You got to know that you're born of the free. Two people can witness and say almost the same thing. Witness somebody. This girl here, she needs witness to. I can go witness to her and tell her about Jesus. And you can go witness to her and tell her about Jesus. And you could be doing it for a totally different reason than I'm doing it. I could be doing it because I believe that I need to really get this done. And this is a requirement on my life. And I just, you know, I got to hit my quota. I don't know if those people that come and knock on your door have a quota or not. Do they? Does anybody know? Like on Saturdays, has anybody ever had them come to your house and knock on your door? Raise your hand if you ever had them come and knock on your door. I'm looking back here. I know Dustin hasn't had anybody knock on his door. No. Jehovah's Witnesses, don't go up there. I don't know if there's a quote or not. I don't know, but I think sometimes you do it because you feel like you have to do it. And here's what I'm giving her. I'm giving her the work of the flesh. I'm doing it to hit my numbers. I'm doing it to ease my conscience. But he's doing it out of freedom. And when he does it out of freedom, I promise you, he will be a lot more effective than me trying to hit our quota. So he said, he that is born after the flesh persecutes him that's born after the spirit. I've seen this over and over. People that want to be over the law don't like to see people liberated so soon. I had a lady one time, I was talking to her, and she was just beating somebody up, man. She was just wearing them out. I tell you right now, that girl. And I said, do you not think she's saved? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think God's a respecter of persons. And if I got to do it, she's got to do it too. I was like, wow. You mean you feel like you got to do this? Boy, there's a big difference between got to and get to. That's the difference between flesh and spirit. The flesh says, I got to. I got to go to worship. I got to go to church. I got to read my Bible. I got to. You know what the spirit says? I get to bask in his presence. I get to talk to my creator. It's a vast difference between flesh and spirit. You want to be under the law? He said, have you not heard the law? That's why you walk around wore out in your Christian walk. Because you're trying to do it through the flesh. Well, today I want somebody to cast out the bondwoman and her son. Oh, wait. But you don't know what her son is. Her son is what my effort has produced. Surely something was produced and they named it Ishmael. Something was produced. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not easy. Easy for Sarah. Hey, get rid of that boy and your girlfriend. Cast her out of here. Well, this was your idea, Sarah. And now that's my boy. And he's 14 years old. Come here, my boy. I love this illustration. I'm closer to him than I've ever been. And he's 20. We were really close when he was 14. I wouldn't have wanted to get rid of him then either. But could you imagine if Tracy said, get rid of him. Cast him out. And her too. It's easy for us to tell other people to get this out of their lives. Because she didn't invest no time into this. But there comes a point when we got to realize that what we have produced through our own effort is not advantageous for the kingdom of God. But you don't know, preacher, you just don't know. I've got a pretty good thing going here. He said, get rid of it. Get rid of it and start walking in freedom. So imagine this, he gets up the next morning. I'm positive, this is not scripture, but I'm positive that Abraham's seen him off. So some of y'all guys have been like, yeah, y'all get out of here. I'm sleeping in. But Abraham got up the next morning and he takes his son. It's his son. He spent time with him. It's easy for me to tell somebody, hey, you need to get rid of that. Let me say it like this. It's easy for me to look at a drunkard and say, you need to quit drinking. I had a drunk tell me one time, he tapped his beer belly and said, I got a lot of money invested in that thing. A lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money. He said, well, get rid of it. Get rid of it. There come this point. The problem is Isaac is back there. And as long as Abraham is walking with Ishmael, Isaac is behind him. The promise is the wrong direction. But there came a point in the walk where Abraham stopped and let the works of the flesh walk away. Watch this. And he turned around. And once he turned around, he was pointed back to the promise. This is what repentance is, people. It's turning to the promise. And consequently, you turn away from the flesh. Come on, musicians, I think I'm done. I got some things in my life, preacher, I've been struggling with. I've tried to sweep them out. It done me no good. The Bible talks about a man that has a spirit. He said the spirit, when it's gone out from him, it searches the dry places. If it can't find rest, it comes back and finds the house swept and garnished. And it brings back seven more spirits. Oh, about to shout. Swept and garnished, but not filled. Notice the spirits look for the dry places. See, when those spirits were removed from me, they came back too late because out of my belly was flowing rivers of living water. It wasn't a dust trap anymore. It wasn't me trying to make it work. It was God working through me, and he didn't just wash away some of it. He washed away all of it. So I stand before him right now, justified in his sight by his own blood. I've been washed in it. But if I get a little better, if I get a little better, if I can just get just a little bit better. And you know what you do? You take one step forward and two steps back. You say, if I can just get a little better. He said, get rid of that. Get rid of that. Walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. How do you walk in freedom? I'm going to tell you, walk in freedom. When sin comes your way, you say, I'm sorry. I don't have to deal with you right now because that's not who I am. My mother is Jerusalem. I'm born of the free, and I'm free to not to. Amen. See, people got it messed up. They think Christians are in bondage. Don't they? I don't want to be a Christian. Y'all got all them rules? I don't have no rules, just right. I know it's Outback, but still. It's a good thing. Is that Outback? Yeah, sounds right, right? No rules, just right. I walk in relationship. And when I walk in relationship, I'm led by the Spirit. Because I promise you, there's not enough rules in this world that could cover us to a holy God. They're playing music. That means I got to quit. So hard to let go sometimes. I just want to keep sweeping. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? Let's do it now. She's got a testimony. Let's hear it. I'm done. Let's go.